Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news of the area. I'm Carl Lengel. It is the 8th of May, 2026, a Friday. Search and rescue crews have discovered the remains of a hiker who had been missing since Sunday evening. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
According to a Glacier National Park press release, the victim was located about 2.5 miles up the Mount Brown Trail on the park's west side. He was approximately 50 feet off the trail in a densely wooded area with downed timber. Park officials say the injuries are consistent with those sustained by a bear attack. Search and rescue crews found the body at about noon Wednesday. The National Park Service is withholding the identity of the victim until next of kin notification. That investigation is ongoing. All trails originating from the Sperry Trailhead at the Lake McDonald Lodge to Mount Brown, Snyder Lake, Sperry Chalet, and the Lincoln Lake Trail Junction are now closed. The Lincoln Lake Trail from the Snyder Ridge Trail Junction to Lincoln Lake is also closed. The park's last human fatality caused by a bear was in 1998 in the Two Medicine Valley on Glacier's east side. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
Yellowstone National Park officials are keeping a temporary closure in place for a trail, backcountry campsite, and fishing northwest of the Old Faithful area after a bear incident earlier this week. In a Thursday news release, park officials provided additional information about the incident. Emergency responders, law enforcement, and EMS personnel responded to the scene, providing aid before the two male hikers, ages 15 and 28, were transported from the area by helicopter. Park staff believe a female grizzly bear and two or three cubs in the first year of life were involved in the encounter. The incident remains under investigation. A Billings judge has dismissed a challenge to the 2024 constitutional initiative that enshrined abortion access in Montana's constitution. The Montana Life Defense Fund and two plaintiffs argued the ballot proposal's text was deficient and its voter approval should be void. A Yellowstone County District Court disagreed, concluding the proposal met all legal requirements. The constitutional amendment protecting access to abortion stands. Researchers are growing chicken organs in a lab in Bozeman to better understand avian flu, a contagious and deadly disease in poultry. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche reports.
Montana State University began project research earlier this year with a $1.9 million grant through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Professor Emma Loveday says biologists are developing miniature organs from chicken digestive tracts to study avian flu.
We're really looking to try and identify ways where we can suppress infection within these cells in hopes that suppressing infection will reduce the amount of virus being produced overall within the chicken and thereby limiting spread during an outbreak.
There is no cure for avian flu in poultry, and agricultural operations must cull their entire flock to control the virus. Loveday says researchers are hoping what they discover will support the development of antivirals or feed additives. She says using lab-grown organs makes it easier to get the cells and to limit experimentation on animals. The USDA grant ends in 2029. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
A new nationwide study of school cell phone bans found some improvement in student well-being, but no improvement in test scores. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy explores the data.
The National Bureau of Economic Research team examined cell phone usage and student wellness in schools that require students to keep their devices in locked pouches during the day. Teachers reported students use their devices in school 75% less after 3 years. Meanwhile, disciplinary actions rose at first following a ban, then dropped over time. The report comes amid a nationwide push to ban cell phones in schools as parents, students, and teachers weigh the costs and benefits of tech in the classroom. Bozeman High School principal Brian Mills says his school is set to tighten its phone policy next year after doubling down on enforcing its existing rules.
students have responded well to that. In fact, some students, you know, respond specifically positively to that, say they like the break from their cell phone.
Researchers didn't find any improvement in student test scores following cell phone bans, something education advocates had been hoping for. But it's the first report of its kind, and long-term trends take time to emerge. Montana is one of a shrinking number of states without a law on the books for restricting phones in schools. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
The Montana Department of Commerce announced Thursday that 21 Montana businesses will share $210,000 of grant funding to assist small startup or expanding Native American-owned tourism businesses. The funding is through Commerce's Tribal Tourism Small Business Grant Program. The $10,000 grants go to a variety of communities. Browning Community benefits with 6 recipients, and 5 are awarded to Billings businesses. Other businesses benefiting are based in Box Elder, Babb, Cutbank, Lame Deer, Helena, Pryor, Ronan, and Great Falls. Most of the grants provide funding for business equipment and development. In 2025, Assiniboine Books in Wolf Point received funding for the development and production of Assiniboine language learning books, coloring books, and calendars. The company became a member of Commerce's Native American Made in Montana program and exhibited at the 2026 Made in Montana trade show in Helena to engage in the wholesale marketplace. The TTSB grant cycle budget is $240,000, a maximum award amount of $10,000. There is no match required. The program aims to award approximately 24 grants to enrolled citizens of a Montana tribe. The grant cycle runs annually from October 1st through November 30th. For more information about TTSB grants, visit commerce.mt.gov. Television viewers who regularly tune in to watch the PBS show Antique Roadshow have a chance to watch appraisals in person today at the Yellowstone Art Museum in Billings. YPR's Kay Erickson reports.
YAM will be hosting the Montana Appraisal Fair, where celebrity appraiser Timothy Gordon and auctioneer Grant Zahijo will examine items including art, rare collectibles, classic toys, and pieces of Western history. There will be 2 special public appraisals midday on Friday. At noon, there'll be an appraisal for a Charlie Russell painting and a handwritten letter. At 1 p.m. is an appraisal of a 1926 Yellowstone National Park Lincoln touring car. The Friday event at the Yellowstone Art Museum is 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and open to the public. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
The NCAA will expand its March Madness tournaments by 8 teams each next season. It will add more early-round games in the first week without altering the overall format. The new 76-team brackets for men and women will feature 12 games involving 24 teams. The winners will join the main 64-team bracket starting Thursday for men and Friday for women. It is the first expansion of the tournaments in 15 years, when they were bumped to 68 teams each. Most of the 8 new slots are expected to go to teams in the power conferences that were already commanding the lion's share of entries in the bracket. There's also money at stake. Conferences earn units, which amount to about $350,000 per unit for the men's tournament last season, for placing teams in the bracket, and then for every round those teams advance. The Big Ten made nearly $70 million from both tournaments, won by conference members Michigan, the men, and UCLA for the women. This is a midterm election year, and Montana's primary election is June 2nd. Yellowstone Public Radio and Montana Public Radio are working together to share profiles on candidates running for federal office in 2026. Today, a conversation between Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy and Riley Neal, who's a Democrat running for the U.S. Senate.
Tell us why you feel you are the best person for this job.
Well, in 2024, I ran a writing campaign for the Eastern Congressional District, and I went to 40 counties in 2 months with no budget, no staff. And after that campaign of being on the ground and talking to people, 1,500 people wrote me in, took the time to write me in on the ballot. And that was a petition to tell the rest of the state that Eastern Montanans wanted to be heard. And I heard it loud and clear. So the day after that election in 2024, November 6th, 7th, 2024, I decided to put my hat in the ring for U.S. Senate as a proud Democrat.
Can you tell me about the prior experience that you would bring to the U.S. Senate if elected?
For 10 years, I had a newspaper in Livingston, Montana, right at the corner of Lewis and Main Streets, and my door was always open. It was a weekly newspaper, so we had folks coming in every day to talk to us about community issues. And I feel like I'm bringing that spirit to the job of U.S. Senator. I also served in the Montana State House. And while I was in the State House, I did work on reproductive rights issues and women's issues, but I also worked on food security and our agricultural system security going into the future that's looking a little uncertain with climate variability. So what I bring to this candidacy and what I will bring in the U.S. Senate is the ability to listen to our community and make policy based on what we have heard.
And let's talk about some of the policies that people are talking about right now. One of the biggest right now, of course, is the issue of healthcare. It's very expensive. Congress shut down last fall over the issue. How do you feel Congress should address the cost of healthcare in the United States?
We first started looking at this policy with the folks on the ground we were talking to. We've had dozens of roundtables all across the state, and people have mentioned everything from single-payer systems to universal health care. So initially, we came up with one line of code. We called it the Family Insurance Act that would extend the age that you can stay on a family's on your family's coverage to 35 years old rather than 26, which would avoid some of the cliff that you might fall off of at 26. It would lessen the strain on Medicaid. And overall, it would be one line of code. It would be something easy that could be accomplished in Congress. After we developed this first initial policy language, we realized people wanted to see more. They wanted us to ask for what we really need. And from what we hear across the board in nearly every community in Montana, that's universal health care.
Let's pivot to another very topical issue right now, which is immigration. Where do you stand on the Trump administration's approach to immigration enforcement in this second term? And what role do you think Congress should have in immigration enforcement?
Well, first of all, Congress needs to be holding the Oval Office accountable for our due process, for our rule of law. And what we're seeing across the nation is the undermining of due process and rule of law. When it comes to immigration reform, I think that right now we've seen that people wanted something different than what we were living with. So how are we going to address this going forward? It's going to take Congress working together, but most of all, it's going to take Congress holding the Oval Office accountable for unlawful acts.
You've talked a lot about listening to constituents across Montana as a tenant of your campaign. What is a top policy priority that you have heard from them?
As we were conducting these roundtables, so we've been doing this over a year and a half, but as we continued to do this, the issue shifted from cost of living, which is always still very important, and public education, which are, you know, our public schools are the heartbeats of our small communities and all of our communities across Montana. Healthcare, which we've chatted about a little here today. Main Street, making sure that we have the economic strength to carry forward in the future. But now, and almost exclusively at every event, people are concerned with holding the administration accountable in D.C.
That was Austin Amestoy speaking with Riley Neal running for the U.S. Senate. That's The Worm for this Friday. Catch up with us tomorrow for a special edition of The Weekend Worm. I'm Carl Lengel.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.